House Committee on Environment and Energy, May 15, 1987, Hearing Room E. Work session, Senate Bill 16A. Public hearing and possible work session, Senate Bill 918. Work session, House Bill 3386, House Bill 3072, Senate Bill 389, Senate Bill 535.
And the clerk will note that Representative Ekus is in the AG's office, will be slightly late. Representative Gilman is here, I think. Representative Peterson, Representative Johnson, and Representative Berea will be a little late. One, two, okay. We will open the hearing on Senate Bill 389. I'm sorry, not the hearing, the work session. We've already had the hearing. And this is the bill on the Super Collider issue. Any discussion from members of the committee on 389? I think, as I recall, Representative Anderson raised a question, but he said he's satisfied it's taken care of at this point. And we didn't report it out last time. We didn't have the time. I don't think there was any other issues. Do I have a motion on Senate Bill 389?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Parkinson.
I'd move Senate Bill 389 to the floor with a due pass.
Been moved to send 389 with a due pass to the floor. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair,
I
believe I was out of the area the day this was first discussed. Is this going down to Ways and Means?
I believe it goes directly to the floor.
Directly to the floor. Is there no fiscal impact?
No, we've got these today. Saying no impact on state and local government.
So, at least the fiscal report says no
I guess I have a hard time understanding.
Well, I do too. Basically, what the issue does is simply says that on the land use, that if there is an opportunity with this, this would be provided essentially use. You take it out of the land use process, in effect, what you do with this bill.
Okay.
Keep in mind that there is a physical impact about the project.
Yes.
Other legislation that raises substantial funds, but
right.
Not in this one.
But I think the important point of the bill is it provides an exemption from land use planning and zoning requirements. Additional comment?
Mr. Chairman, if we could just do this for siting of industrial plants, then we'd have it made.
Okay. If the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Representative Berea. Representative Gilman.
Aye.
I'll give you the carry.
Representative Peterson.
Aye.
Representative Proa.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Did I vote?
No, you didn't vote.
Parkinson.
Oh, Representative Parkinson.
Aye.
Sorry. We got everybody.
Yeah.
All right, the bill does pass. We'll close the hearing on issue by 380, 389, and we will open the hearing on Senate Bill 918. Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, members, I'm Joyce Cohen, for the record, State Senator in District 13, Clackamas County, and this little bill represents probably the most faint step one could ever begin to make with respect to the recognition plastics are a problem and litter is a problem, and this is a positive way of going about it. It establishes a governor's award for restaurant excellence. The award would be given to a fast food or other takeout establishment which uses biodegradable materials to wrap food. It is designed to reward restaurants' use of environmentally sound packaging practices and discourage the use of plastic and styrofoam products, which often end up as litter. We had a lot of testimony in the House Ag and Natural Resources Committee of the detrimental effects of styrofoam in the wildlife environment and the environment itself. And at least what this bill would propose to do would be to do an award by the governor to the fast food restaurants who, in fact, do focus on non-use of or for those who use biodegradable products in their wrapping and packaging. And I want to report to you that there are a number of fast food restaurants who actually do not use styrofoam at this point in time, and who probably ought to be given some recognition. So if the consumers decide to make a choice
like this,
like that, then at least they would have something they could put on the door or use in their advertising or something of that nature. And this is a simple matter of what the bill does. You'll see a hand engrossed piece. It's just I would ask your indulgence to adopt the hand engrossed bill because we've added a couple of lines there which I think clarify the intent, and we have deleted, if you would adopt the hand engrossed amendments, we would delete the word "or wax" on line, which I think is it's the last page of my testimony.
Senator Cohen, let me ask you, nothing irritates me more than plastic flowers in a restaurant. Would such a restaurant be eligible for this award?
Mr. Chairman, I would leave that up to the governor to decide in this great competition who would be the best. And if they didn't have plastic flowers, they might be more likely qualified than someone who didn't have plastic flowers.
Representative Peterson.
I guess I was curious, Joyce, when I first looked at it, it didn't immediately suggest fast food restaurant. And is there anything in the bill? I mean, could any restaurant apply for it? And not that I would mind that, but I didn't see language.
Well, it says it serves the majority of its food to be taken off the premises.
That's the language.
Now, that doesn't mean that you couldn't, you know, I don't have a problem in dealing it with opening it with all other restaurants, but most other restaurants really don't. And I suppose if you could expand it at some point in time if you didn't find enough takeout restaurants. Really what we're trying to do here is give some recognition to the people who do a good job and who package their takeout food in biodegradable packaging.
I would, yes, Mr. Chair, if I may continue, like to take one last final time to sort of nag the committee here. The first week of session, I said, let's not E&E use styrofoam cups, let's all bring our own. Everyone faithfully did for about 1 or 2 weeks. I'm the only one left.
Well, let me say that Representative Peterson asked me to, she said she was going to get me a cup, but then I found out she wanted me to pay for it. Representative Parkinson.
Somebody stole my
cup. Yeah, I want to point that out. That mine was stolen on the House floor.
Chairman, though, I do have Representative
Parkinson.
I guess it's a question to Senator Cohen. Who would award the governor's award? It doesn't say. The governor of the House of Delegates of the Oregon Restaurant and Beverage Association? Or whatever. It doesn't direct him. Isn't this usually done in the form of a resolution? It's sort of a bill?
Oftentimes it's done. Well, all I'm directing is that the governor, I think it really, it doesn't say. It leaves it up to, really doesn't say. I suppose we could direct the governor to establish such award. I don't know whether we need to be that explicit. And if if we wanted to say the governor shall establish such a program, that's fine with me if it makes it.
This is a good first step. Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to look at that and see whatever the committee wants it to do. If you need to direct it, it was one of those kinds of situations where.
There was a show. Did you have a question? No.
No, I was just going to.
Well, let me
correct.
Go ahead.
Correct, Representative Peterson. That I didn't need a styrofoam cup because I don't drink any of that
poison
stuff. And I even went as far as to request that the House lounge supply me with paper cups so I wouldn't have to use styrofoam in there.
Thank you.
Representative Gilman.
Senator Cohen, in your discussion over on the other side of this bill, did you consider programs of pickup of litter that different fast food restaurants have and an award for them?
No, we did not consider that.
Thank you.
Senator Cohen, the Orba people came and asked me if we would be willing to amend this, and I drafted a suggested amendment which would provide for an arrestant award for environmental excellence.
Fine.
You wouldn't have any problem with that.
No. We've been grappling around for, we called it the Brown Bag Award. In fact, we had amendments that included that my staff finally decided it ought to be called the Brown Bag Award, and we couldn't come up with an appropriate name. I think it would be, I'm pleased to have somebody finally decide that definitively what it ought to be called.
And they indicated that with that kind of amendment, they would have no objection to the bill. You'll take a look at your hand and gross bill. So there's a proposed amendment there on lines 5 and 6.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
Representative. I would, in light of what Representative Parkinson suggested after looking here, to be awarded, I would say, by the governor to an environmentally conscious restaurant. I think it makes it clear if you add the words by the governor to my amendments, and I would request that you add those two words at that point in time. I think it does clarify it.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Parkinson.
A friendly amendment that says to be awarded by the governor of the state of Oregon?
Fine.
Well, I thought we were going to have the governor of California do it. He could come up here and make a visit. All right.
Thank you.
We're talking about amendments, which would state there is established a governor's award for excellence or a restaurant for an restaurant governor's award or restaurant award for environmental excellence to be awarded by the governor of the state of Oregon to an environmentally conscious restaurant that promotes a clean, healthy, litter-free environment, and then 1, 2, 3, and 4 would be retained.
Mm-hmm. And delete wax.
And delete wax, right. If it does not use plastics or styrofoam to wrap or encase the food. Yes, Representative Parkinson.
I'd move those amendments to the bill.
Right. Amendments have been moved. Anyone have any discussion or problem with those amendments? If not, do we have amendments then for the bill as amended? Motion for the bill as amended. Representative Berea?
No.
Representative Parkinson?
I'd move the Senate Bill 918 as amended to the floor with the due pass.
All right, any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
I think we've got a loophole here that serves a majority of its food to be taken off premises. I know some of the worst restaurants in the world and probably take most of theirs off through the back door in the garbage can.
Let me ask Representative Cohen, Senator Cohen, come back and ask. I'm wondering whether we even need that sentence. Would you just leave it open?
That's fine with me. The committee is—it's your pleasure to deal with this. I don't think
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative.
I think that it's been demonstrated on a number of occasions that people have purchased food at fast food outlets. That is the problem.
Yeah, okay, I agree with that.
I think it is. Yeah.
Representative Berea.
I just wanted to clear up legislative intent. I think Representative Parkinson did.
Okay. Representative Anderson.
No problem.
Okay.
Just a fun little bill.
All right. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Berea?
Aye.
Representative Gilman?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Parkinson? Representative Parkinson?
Aye.
Representative Peterson?
Aye.
Senator Sola.
Aye.
Mr.
Chair.
All right. Well, let me see who should carry this bill. I think this would be a great little bill for Representative Johnson. Because he's only carried one bill. Wouldn't the committee agree that he's
carrying
the
day?
To carry it? I'll ask Representative Johnson to carry this bill. Thank you.
All right. Out of respect for you, I will.
All right. Thank you. The bill passes, and we will close the work session on. All right. I assume there was no conflict of interest here, Representative.
I don't own a restaurant. I always wanted to work in one, but.
We will at this point. Let me see. What should we have next? Let's open the work session on House Bill 3386. I'll ask the group that's worked on this if they come up to the podium, please. Welcome. I understand that the group that has worked on this has come to a some closure on the issues that we raised before the committee last time. I have also had a couple of the members have asked me about the 300 exemption level and have suggested maybe 500. We may want to discuss that, but before we get to that issue, why don't you tell us where we are in reference to the bill and the questions that were raised earlier?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm John Stoner, Certification Secretary for the State of Oregon on the Voluntary Certification Program. It was my understanding in reviewing this with the other individuals who were assigned to rewrite certain portions that there was a consensus on moving it from 50,000 gallons per day for wastewater treatment plants to 75,000 gallons a day, and for the water treatment facilities and distribution systems to 300 connections from the 200 on that. My understanding is there's been a consensus with the members that worked on it and with the League of Oregon Cities that suggested this particular change. There was other wording in the bill to clear up certain parts of it, such as indicating the current Oregon sewage treatment certification under the voluntary program and the current Oregon certification on the voluntary water treatment program to more specifically identify it that would not include individuals. Thank you. From other states that might not meet the particular standards that Oregon has at this particular point in time.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Jim Boydston, the manager of the Drinking Water Program in the State Health Division. I missed the earlier hearings because I was out of state, but I did get an opportunity to work with some of the amendments. Just to hit a couple of the highlights, I think we added the definition of supervise to indicate that that's means to either operate or to be responsible for directing the employees that are responsible for operation.
Tell us what that section is, would you please?
That's in section 1, subparagraph 9.
On page 2 of the page two. Dash 2 amendment?
Top of page 2.
All right. Thank you.
As John Stoner mentioned, we did provide for reciprocity and for grandfathering operators that are currently registered under the or certified under the present voluntary program. We did make those changes in the minimum level below which a community would not have to have full-time operation.
And that was what, the figure 300?
Yes, yes.
Why don't we come back? Why don't we come back to that? What section is that? We had two sections, one for sewers and one for water. Is that correct?
That's section 15.
All right.
On page 7.
Right. Was the same figure used in reference to the sewer systems?
The one in reference to the sewer systems is section 7 on page 4, or 75,000 gallons a day.
Okay, good. Why don't we come back to that issue, particularly the 300 for water, because I know there's some questions that a couple of the members of the committee have, and just go ahead and continue any other comments we have from you at this point.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think the other one important point was we changed the definition, if I can find the correct section, to make this act not apply to what we define as non-community water systems. That's on page 2, section 1, paragraph 11, the definition of water system. Includes sewage treatment works are potable water treatment plants and water distribution systems that have 15 or more service connections used by year-round residents or that regularly serve 25 or more year-round residents. The reason for this is that in our Drinking Water Act definitions, we have two classes of water systems, a community water system, which would be your typical city or community system, and what we classify as non-community systems, and those would be, for example, a restaurant, transient facilities that the public might use that would have access to water, such as a restaurant with a well, a motel, or a school, things of that sort. And so we did think it best to eliminate those from the provision of the Act.
Thank you. Stan?
Mr. Chairman, Stan Biles, Department of Environmental Quality. There were three changes made to those provisions of the bill that the Department of Environmental Quality is directed to administer. Each of those have already been pointed out, and I guess the most important one is the movement from 50,000 gallons per day to 75,000 gallons per day. Any facility having less than 75,000 gallons a day would be exempted as long as they've contracted with an operator for part-time supervision. That's acceptable to us. We have maintained steadfastly our agency's official neutrality on this bill from the beginning, but the three changes are fine with us. We were asked, though, to come back to the committee with a list of those facilities that have a capacity over 75,000, right, under 75. We have that available for the committee.
Okay, why don't we get those? The question I guess I asked you before, Representative Parkinson does, where does Gervais end up on this list? Where does Gervais end up on this list?
Gervais has a capacity, design capacity of 150,000 gallons a day. So it's covered at either 50,000 gallons or 75,000 gallons.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask another question?
Yes.
Before that, on page 2, I hadn't picked this up before, I guess, but it says water system includes sewage treatment works or potable water treatment plants. I don't know why. I guess I assumed it was kind of broken down into two parts. Does that sound right? Line 8, page 2 of the amendments. The dash
page
amendments.
2, line 8.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Parkinson, I believe that's a mistake. That I thought that we had intended that be corrected.
Yeah, that should
be. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
Do we have anything later than the dash 2 amendments?
No.
No.
What should it be? Well, page 2, line 8, the definition of water system.
Mr. Chairman, that the draft that we provide to Legislative Council did have the words sewage treatment works bracketed, and it was our intent to strike those from that sentence.
So it should be water system includes a portable water treatment plants.
Yes, sir.
And so on. Okay.
Possible.
Everyone got that change? So that to correct the definition. So the definition reads water system includes potable water treatment plants and so on.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Anderson.
Stan, I can't find it in the bill, but I know we've got full-time coverage for waterworks. Is it in the bill, or do we currently require 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week coverage of sewage treatment plants above a certain size in the state?
I'm about to find it. The answer is no from a departmental requirement perspective. The large ones obviously do that on their own, either with people or more likely some of the very large ones with computer assistance, but there's no requirement from us.
Follow-up, I guess. Yeah. I understood that to be in there for water. Is that correct?
Chairman, Representative Anderson, the wording that we added in this version on with the definition of supervision would say to operate or to supervise employees that operate. So it would require for those communities over 300 connections that the community have in its employ an operator, but that does not require that operator be on site on a water treatment plant for 24 hours a day, but accessible to the community.
That is over the $300 figure.
Correct.
Mr. Chairman, I suppose too late to work the bill, but we have a huge sanitary district in Roseburg by our standards, and we've had, at least, even though it's a brand new system, we've had three horrible bypasses or spills or whatever you want to call them, probably due to lack of somebody manning the plant. And I want to look, would like to have looked, and I don't want to hold the bill up, at a requirement that plants over a certain size have somebody physically in that plant 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I don't know any other way to stop it. Computers go bonkers, and I know it costs money, but I think it's a serious consideration that either direction or DEQ to hold hearings on the rulemaking or something.
What's the section that, on that particular item you've gotten?
Mr. Chairman, it shows up in two places for the DEQ provisions. I think it's page 3, section 3, lines 5 and 6. Must be supervised. In an earlier draft, there was language that said must at all times be supervised by, and I think the concern was, particularly for smaller communities, that they just don't have the ability to have somebody there directly on site supervising. And so it was taken out and replaced with the phrase must be supervised by, as I recall.
And then we have defined supervisor on page 2. You've indicated earlier we've added that. Means to operate be responsible for directing employees that are responsible for the operation of a water system, so that you really have to have someone in charge. That's the intent, is it not?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Parkinson.
Somebody could correct me if I'm wrong, and I could be, but it seems to me like opening day when we had the original testimony on this, that the intent was to try to save this water certification program, that it was going to be in trouble. Is that pretty much correct, Stan, or whomever? Maybe the other gentleman? That because of one person being responsible retiring, another one wants to retire, that we were in danger of losing or something the program?
Representative Parkinson, I'm John Stoner, the current certification officer for the state. It was my intent when I assumed responsibility for the program from Oregon State in 1983 that I was retired at that point in time, and I was looking forward to it again. I've enjoyed working with the program. It's been a challenge, and we've accomplished getting it on its own feet, supporting itself. But the necessity for certification, I believe, is from a public health point of view and the protection of the environment rather than one individual moving out of the particular program or the salvation of the program. It needs to be put in a permanent location for continued operation in a uniform manner.
Mr. Chairman?
All right, Representative Parker.
Another question. It's been a voluntary program, though, hasn't it, in the past? And now
that is correct, yes, sir.
And this bill turns it into a mandatory program.
That is correct, yes.
The question made is maybe to Stan. Stan, if you have a large municipality, they have to have a wastewater discharge permit to operate a sewage facility, right?
That's true.
If they violate that, you have the ability now to levy a large fine on them?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Parkinson, yes.
You have the ability to impose conditions on that permit. If there was a large plant, you have the ability now to say that we believe that you should have a certified operator there 24 hours a day. You have that ability now?
Mr. Chairman, I think so.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, just with that in mind, I would be more comfortable with the bill if we probably make a first step. I'd like to see the exemptions raised a little bit and not make it 24-hour mandatory and everything, and I think it'll be a beginning, and 2 years from now the people will all be back here and they can make things stricter if they want. I've been a little concerned right along that about the smaller communities and not knowing exactly what's out there. I had a visit with Phil Fell today because I've been digging him to talk to these small communities, see what's going on, and he's had a problem. He says you call some of these little towns, you get the city recorder, their public works crew might be one or two people, and they can't even find them. So he really has not been in that good a touch with the small cities. And anyway, that's just my general philosophy, and I think it makes sense.
Would you also say, Representative Parkinson, if we have an epidemic in the middle of no place, doesn't make any difference to the rest of us? No.
That's oh, not absolutely right. Not. But, having worked a little bit with DEQ in the past, not only on this committee, but as a local mayor, I know that they do have a lot of clubs they can use right now.
Let me ask, and since we're talking about the exemption figure, we proposed figures 300, and I think Representative Parkinson talks about 500. Can you give us a sense of what difference that would mean in terms of the number of systems covered? Stan, we're talking about now the water side. Maybe how about Art? Do you want to come up? Oh, you okay? Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, on the drinking water systems, our current inventory indicates that there are some roughly 50 additional communities that fall in the category between 300 connections and 500 connections.